for joining us back here again at Broncos TV Live at the NFL Scouting Combine, and we were lucky to be joined by John Elway right
there. That was
cool. Spent a lot of time with us, talked about the draft process and some of the things that he looks for when he's here at the Combine.
Well, first of all, very gracious for John Elway. We appreciate his time, absolutely. And we did get good insight into what he's looking for and, you know, how valuable he values those 15 minutes, because you only get 15 minutes with these guys, as he mentioned, at the NFL Combine. So I think it was great to kind of see what he's looking for. The measurables are important to him. You know, we did talk about hand size. We joked about it beforehand. But the measurables, as he mentioned just now, very important to a guy like him, guys in the personnel staff like Matt Russell. I mean, like we said, nitpicking. It's just one little thing. If one little thing's off that can cause discomfort, it can be enough for a team to pass on a guy. So every little detail, every little minute detail, very important to John Elway and the personnel staff.
And he talked about the scouting department. Yep. I had a chance to talk with Matt Russell a couple of months ago and see how behind the scenes sort of look at what they do to get ready for this process. Something Matt Russell told me was that John Elway really excels in those 15-minute meetings with the players. He just has a knack for knowing how a guy is. We've seen that the last two drafts. In the first round, they moved up to get Shane Ray, moved up to get Bradley Roby. Some concerns there, but John Elway, in those 15 minutes, felt comfortable enough to make those picks.
Well, let's look back into kind of his drafts in previous years. Danny Trevathan, Brandon Marshall. Let's take the linebackers, for example. Two guys who have excelled on this Broncos defense in the past couple of years. Those guys were found in the late rounds. Those guys were kind of hidden gems when it came to the draft. So when you look at the defense of the Broncos, those interviews and those 60 guys that they're allowed to bring in and talk to, any little detail that they can find is going to be great. And Marshall and Trevathan are just two of the examples of guys who have done the most with the opportunity that they've been given.
Yeah, you got to have guys like that, guys like Malik Jackson, a fourth-round pick, who come in. They don't play like fourth-round picks.
No.
They excel. And now Malik Jackson, it's a good problem to have.
Right.
They draft the guy, and now they want to try and keep him.
Well, we've heard a lot of things about Malik Jackson this week in free agency. Anywhere, his value could be anywhere from $10 million to $15 million, maybe even more. We don't know what he's going to command on the open market if it gets that far. I know the Broncos would love to have him back. But Malik has definitely, a guy like you said, grown into that position, a very disruptive force on the defensive line. And, again, a guy that John and the personnel staff found out of Tennessee who maybe looked over a little bit. People didn't really see what Malik could have become down the line, and now Malik is going to reap the rewards. Hopefully the Broncos can do enough to convince him to come back.
Yeah, John Elway just sat down here with us live on set. We're just sort of rehashing what we heard from him. He talked about Peyton Manning very briefly at the very top. Earlier, we had a chance to catch up with Sal Palantonio from ESPN. He had a lot to say about what he thought would happen with Peyton Manning. We had a pretty good interview with him, and we'd like to show you that now. We're here with ESPN Sal Palantonio. Thank you very much for joining us. The Broncos have so many free agents. Is that kind of why it's so hard to repeat in the NFL these days?
Well, especially when you have an unknown at the quarterback position, for sure. Yeah, I mean, it's tough. And the Broncos repeated, the Patriots repeated, but you don't really have too many teams in recent history that have done so. It's difficult. The league is so competitive now, Phil, that it's harder and harder to repeat. But listen, when you have stability, you got Elway, you got Kubiak, you got Wade. That's pretty good.
You mentioned the quarterback situation. I know that you're close with Peyton Manning. Any sense on which way he might be leaning, or what do you think the Broncos should do? They say, I know they want to give him all the time he needs, but at some point you got to make a decision, right?
Well, there's two things on that. First of all, I remember interviewing him on the field right after the game on SportsCenter, and he said to me, well, you know, right now my plan is to go kiss my children. I don't have much of a plan. I said, come on, you're Peyton Manning. You do have a plan. You have a plan for everything. He was telling the truth. He really didn't have a plan. That shocks me. That, you know, we're still waiting. Here it is, February, whatever it is, in late February. We're here at the Combine. I thought we would know by now. I'm going to say, if you want me to put money on it, Phil, in Vegas, I'll say we'll know by March 4th. That's a Friday. That's the day after the Brady appeal hearing. I don't think Peyton wants to one-up the Brady appeal hearing in New York, right? So the 29th is the last day of the combine. That's a Monday. Everybody flies back on Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Thursday's the hearing. I'm going to say my money's on the 4th. We'll know something definitive.
And then if he does decide to retire, how do you think the Broncos approach Brock Osweiler? Head coach Gary Kubiak said that he had a lot of praise for him.
You know, Brock can play. Hey, Brock didn't lose the game in Pittsburgh, did he?
No.
The defense.
Like 28 points in the first half.
The defense lost the game in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. He can play.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But they got to take care of 58 on the other side, right? They got to take
care of it. They will. He'll be the highest paid defensive player in the NFL for a long time. Yeah. And do they bring DeMarcus Ware back? For my money, they're stupid if they don't. Just for the leadership. Here's what I would do. If I were Elway, and Elway's a smart guy, and I'm not going to tell him what to do, give DeMarcus Ware a lifetime contract.
Whatever he wants.
Just say, hey, DeMarcus, you're going to play until you can't play anymore, and then you're coming in the front office, you're going to be an ambassador for the team. Which is what the Eagles should have done with Brian Dawkins, and he wouldn't have gone to Denver. You want me to be assistant GM? I can do that.
Yeah, you can make all the moves.
Call up Mr. Ellis and I'll do it.
Special thanks to ESPN's Sal Palantonio, who is so great in there.
Great.
He says March 4th, if he had to put his money on it, that he thinks Peyton Manning will make a decision by then. Of course, we just heard John Elway say they're going to give Peyton Manning all the time that he needs. Let's talk about the guys who play in front of Peyton Manning.
Okay.
Or in Brock Osweiler this last season, the offensive line. A lot of talk about that they need to get better. How do you see this thing playing out with them? A lot of young guys on that line.
Well, yeah, I think that Michael Schofield, Max Garcia, Tyson Brailo are definitely going to factor into the Broncos' future plans. All those guys have youth. Tyson Brailo, unfortunately, the one injury casualty last year when it came to the Broncos' offensive line. As far as the season goes, his season cut very, very short within the first couple weeks of the year. But with this draft and with this class, I think there's a lot of great potential for the Broncos. And one thing that I thought was interesting was Coach Kubiak bringing up the offensive line, saying it's going to be emphasized this offseason. John Elway in his press conference saying the offensive line going to be emphasized. And I think that whether it be through free agency or the draft, there's a lot of good options. And especially in this draft, Cody Whitehair is one from Kansas State. You think about Joshua Garnett from Stanford, Taylor Decker from Ohio State, all guys that we heard from yesterday. And the one thing that I think is going to be key, and we saw it this past season, was the flexibility, the ability to move from maybe tackle to guard or guard to moving outside. I think is going to be key for the Broncos when it comes to evaluating prospects, just because you look at how much shuffling had to go on. Michael Schofield getting moved around, Evan Mathis moving in and out, Ryan Harris getting shuffled along. Max Garcia, I think, played three spots along the offensive line in one game, as a matter of fact. So I think it's going to be key for the Broncos to find not only an offensive lineman, but to find somebody who's flexible, who can maybe get molded in certain different ways. So I think there's a lot of value there, and I also think it's something that the Broncos are going to emphasize this year.
Well, I think the one thing we saw this season was you need depth at that at that position. You know, we saw them bring in Evan Mathis. Lou Vasquez had some injury things.
Yep.
Max Garcia showed that he could play in the NFL. That was important. And we saw that Tyson Brailo can come in. Another thing that will factor majorly into this is if they can do something with Ryan Clady and figure out a way with the salary cap to bring him back, because we've seen him play at an all-pro level.
Right.
We've seen him walking around the facility, rehabbing a lot, getting ready. It looked like he was in pretty good shape, getting back into it. So Ryan Clady could come back at an all-pro level. If those things happen, this offensive line could really gel and play well. But of course, they could look to the draft and always add some depth there.
Yeah, and I also think that with regards to Ryan Clady especially, that's a guy that a lot of people have forgotten about. It's funny to think, because this is a prospective, you know, Ring of Fame guy who has had a very long career in Denver, and rightfully so. He's definitely shown all-pro capability when he's been able to be healthy. I think that the Broncos, when they have depth, you look at guys like Sim Brailo, Mathis, Ryan Harris, guys that have really shown the ability to kind of exude depth and really move at a lot of different places along the offensive line. I think that the Broncos are in a good spot. And then Ryan Harris. You think about Ryan Harris. If Ryan Harris comes back just as well as he did this year, I think the Broncos are going to be in a good spot if they take an offensive lineman or add a piece in free agency.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of good offensive linemen in this year's draft. They came by and talked to the media, and they had a lot. They said, hey, the transition to the NFL, it's difficult, but they can do it.
Everybody want to be the number one pick, you know what I'm saying? So being the number one pick would be great. I'd love to play for any team.
Speed is even faster here. Defensive ends, even 300-pound defensive tackles are the most athletic guys you'll ever see. So that's the biggest difference from what I see and what my teammates, former teammates, tell me.
I always wanted to walk the walk before I could talk the talk, so to say. And by leading by example, I think you can earn the trust of other people. This year was a big step for me. I try to become more of a vocal leader, which isn't always easy to do unless you're given that talent. So I'm always evolving. I think we're always evolving into new leadership. It's never just something that you can obtain overnight. So I always want to be more of a vocal leader, but at the same time, you got to do the right things on and off the field to earn players their trust. It's fun to listen to you.
I think it starts with the hands. Hands and feet, two most vital parts. If you can really, get your hands on people, and lock them down, it's hard for them to get away from you. So that would be the first part.
I just think I have the great feet. I have a great frame. I just think I'm the best. You got to have that swag about yourself. You got to be confident. Everywhere you go, you got to have that confidence.
Watching the zone, it's pretty much, everybody, we run it pretty much like any other NFL team runs it on the same way. So I'm very familiar with it. When I see it, I know what the guys are looking for and how they're supposed to run it and things like that.
Yeah, I think I could fit in there. Coming from Kansas State and running the zone, and they run the zone as well, I feel like I could fit in there. Like I said, I haven't really talked to him much, but looking forward to seeing what the next couple days brings.
Man, you always want to be labeled as the best. You want to have that confidence in yourself as being the best tackle in the draft.
So some of the guys there talking about making the transition to the NFL, some of them talking about playing in the zone blocking scheme.
Yeah, we heard a lot about the zone blocking scheme from Taylor Decker, Jack Conklin, another guy that we heard from yesterday about that zone blocking scheme. It's funny, Laramie Tunsil, who we did hear from that package, probably not going to be there for the Broncos at 31.
He might be the first pick overall.
Right,
there.
Right. Probably the presumptive at this point first overall pick, so probably not going to be there for the Broncos at 31. However, I do think that's the case when it comes to the combine. Guys are very open to being malleable, to being in a lot of different schemes, and that's really what this process is about. Not only working out, but also learning different schemes in the month, because the season, you think about college guys, from December, the end of December until now, really the most of what they're doing is preparing physically, but they're also really preparing mentally as far as studying tape, studying schemes, and really getting ready to play anywhere, because you ask guys, hey, how do you feel about playing in Indianapolis? How do you feel about playing in Denver? They're not going to say they're not comfortable anywhere. They want to be comfortable wherever they go. Mm-hmm. So I think that preparation goes a long way in, figuring out not only what scheme are you best in, but what you're capable of putting yourself in.
Well, and the on-the-field workouts start tomorrow here in Indianapolis. We'll be back here live again at the same time tomorrow as well, talking about those workouts. For the offensive linemen, though, we don't really care about what their 40 times are.
No.
Maybe the shuttle drill, maybe some of the cone stuff. We want to see their side-to-side explosiveness. We want to see that from them. See some players walk
Looks
by
like
here.
Ezekiel,
hey, this is what happens when you're at the at the combine here. But you see them hit the field tomorrow. Not really about that. More about, hey, is this guy smart enough to play in our system? Because there's so many calls that are made along the offensive line. And really, there, you're getting it in the interview process.
Yeah, and we heard it from John Elway, that 15 minutes, very crucial. But we are going to find out a lot about these guys in the workouts. We call it, the underwear Olympics. That's the pet name for the NFL combine. But there is great value in what you can obtain from seeing a guy block in a certain scheme or a certain drill. Lateral movement is key, maybe more in the zone blocking scheme than it would be, say, in just a pro style. So I think that it's going to be very key for the personnel staffs, all of them in the league, to see what little piece of evidence they can get from those drills, because they're not going out there and playing 11-on-11. It's just not going to happen. And I think there has been some talk, we've heard it, about maybe changing the drills at the combine, putting them in pads. I don't think it's personally going to happen, but I do think that there might be some changes. We might see some changes in the next couple of years. Linemen, I don't think, are going to run the 40 for the next 10 years. I think that's going to quickly die off. But I also think that they're going to make some changes that might make it easier to evaluate guys in certain systems.
Well, the other thing that's going to determine a lot about what the Broncos are looking at is free agency.
Right.
Still a lot to be determined there. If they lose a guy like Malik, they're going to have to look at interior defensive linemen. We had a chance to catch up with John Clayton, ask him some more questions about free agency, and here's what he had to say. We're here with ESPN's John Clayton, looking at the Broncos' free agents right now. Other than Von Miller, where do you think the biggest key is for them to focus on?
The biggest key, I mean, first off, they've got to resolve Malik Jackson's situation, because it's going to be tough, because obviously Von's going to get the franchise tag or get a deal. They're not going to put the franchise tag on Malik, but, I mean, he's so important. I mean, because, you know, he should consider the $11 million offer that might be out there, but naturally he's going to be thinking 13, 14 or million or whatever, and that could be tough because it's a great situation working with Wade Phillips, having all that defensive personnel around. That group has grown together, and it's a good group for many, many years, but they may lose him. You know Danny Trevathan's going to go because that's natural. He's going to get $7 million someplace, and it can't be Denver. So there's going to be some losses, but it's still a good team. It's still good in the secondary. It's still good with, you know, two pass rushers. If indeed they keep DeMarcus Ware, you know they're going to keep Von Miller, and they've got Wade Phillips.
Does it seem like that's kind of the struggle for every Super Bowl champion, free agency? Everybody kind of comes poaching, right?
Absolutely, because, again, what happens now, you have a salary cap. And if you have good players, they're going to get good money, and they're going to outprice what their ability to do. I mean, they're going to be competitive on Malik Jackson. They already are competitive on Malik Jackson, but he may have priced himself out if he thinks he's going to get to 13 or 14 millions. Clearly, Danny Trevathan is a great guy to keep, but he's outpriced himself to stay there. Just go to Seattle. Same problems. I mean, you know, they liked Byron Maxwell as a second cornerback. He got $10.5 million and left. He outpriced himself. I mean, Bruce Irvin, their linebacker, is very good, but he's outpriced himself. When you draft well, and that's the pleasant problem to have, and when you really look at the 2011 and 2012 drafts of John Elway, phenomenal. Absolutely. You saw how many free agents left, but then you get compensatory picks. Now you want to try to keep them, but unfortunately you can't keep everybody.
Same thing happened with the Patriots last year, too. Other side of the ball, the quarterback situation seems a little bit fluid, but today head coach Gary Kubiak had a lot of good things to say about Brock Osweiler.
Yeah, and I think that you could see the fit. I mean, they would not have been the number one seed without Brock Osweiler. He learned during the stretch. He got better each game except for the last game. He'll learn from that, but you can see you can win with him. It's a different style. I mean, this is no longer the 13-3 team. This is now a 10-6 team that wins with scoring 23, 24 points and giving up 17. But it's still a winning formula. It still wins division. It still gets you into playoffs, and it still can get you to the Super Bowl.
The professor, John Clayton, we got a chance to talk with him. He was very poignant there. One thing that I really stood out from that was he talked about that 2011-2012 draft class where the Broncos bring in these guys who are now becoming free agents and a big reason why they just won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think that I think that John made a lot of good points in that interview, and it's good to see him here. It's kind of cool to get his take on all these guys that we're seeing walk past us right now. But yeah, I think he made a lot of good points, and I think that, like you said, you know, free agency is going to be key in a lot of different areas, and so, like, once that kind of pairs down, I think we're going to realize what is actually going to happen through this draft.
I asked him, John Clayton, the same question I asked John Elway. It's hard repeating as Super Bowl champions.
Right.
Sal Palantonio talked about it as well. The Patriots did it. The Broncos did it. And not many other teams have done it. Repeating as Super Bowl champions is really difficult. And everybody wants a piece of that victory.
Right.
To see, hey, what did you guys do? We'll steal a little bit of that culture and bring it into our team.
Well, and we've seen that this offseason. Brian Callahan, one of the offensive coaches, going to the Detroit Lions. Some of our personnel staff moving on to various staffs. So I think that you're right. It's a nice problem to have guys that are getting moved, constantly having pieces kind of switch here and there. But the it's the method's been proven. I think the Super Bowl, when you win a Super Bowl, like you said, the method has been proven. Yep. So I think that, you know, I think the Broncos are going to rebuild as far as staffing goes. But like I just mentioned, the method is in place. The formula is in place for success. So I think they are set up. It's a nice problem to have when instead of coming into a draft,
yeah,
you're looking to keep all your guys instead of knowing when you go into the draft.
Guys.
We need guys.
Yeah, and the formula that Matt talked about, that dominant defense.
Right.
If they can bring back a majority of those guys from that dominant defense, the formula is there. This team could be right back in the Super Bowl next year, although the offensive side of the ball might look a little bit different. The running backs,
yep,
the free agents there, and the other free agent we know, Brock Osweiler. We'll have to see if they can do that. We have one more segment coming up here on the Broncos, on Broncos TV live from Indianapolis. When we come back, we'll wrap up this show with Andrew Mason.